my favorite jobs of the day is to welcome everyone who has arrived today to Holden Village. And if you would please stand when I read your name and remain standing, that way we get a chance to connect your name and learn that and connect that with your face. Rick Brown, Tracy Greenwald, Emily Brown, and Laura Brown. Also, Peter Davis, Erica Sohm, Vivian, and Aiden. Chris Schultz and Cindy Schultz with Casey and Corey. Jeff Lulay, did I say that correct, Jeff? Thank you. And Nancy Lulay, Thomas, and Rachel. Otto Brask and Mina Brask from Kirkland, Washington. Paul Brask, Shelley Brask, Braden, and Braden. Art Schultz, Julie Schultz, Ed Armbrust and Diane Armbrust, Julie Lucas, and Sabina Tompkins and Justin Tompkins. And is there anyone who arrived who is not on the list? No? Welcome everyone to Holdenville. And now we would like to pray with those people who are leaving our community, or I always say that wrong. You never leave our community, you leave the village. Once you're a member of the community, you are forever and always, so I've corrected myself. Now, with those who are leaving our village tomorrow, please stand. And would you all pray with me, please? Gracious God, your love and care sustains the world we live in and the lives we lead. We thank you for these friends. We pray for their safe journey. Thank you for the gifts they've shared with our community. Amen. God be with you.
Also with you.
Thank you. We're going to open tonight by singing from your renewing worships. We're going to do that. We're going to start with
Blessed Assurance, which is
Jesus
in
is mine,
699.
In the blue books. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you.
Today, in thanks for the Holden Board's long and glorious sessions, I thought we should institute a Holden Saints Day and celebrate today a Holden Saint. Of course, I thought it should be me, but that doesn't sound right. This is 1 year, really, almost to the day, that Carol and Tom, wherever they are, and I had the imposition of Ash's authority placed upon our heads. And what you see is what you get. So one of us had to give Vespers tonight because Larry had to go down lake. And so it was altogether meet and right, fitting and proper, my duty and delight, and I also drew the short straw. So I began thinking about this last night, and I would like, because Larry didn't spend a lot of time on this part of 2 Corinthians, to read part of yesterday's text from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, second letter, 6th chapter, the 8th to the 10th verse. Through glory and disgrace, through good report and ill, we are impostors who are true. Not worth knowing, yet well known. As dying, yet look, we are alive. Punished, yet not put to death. Grieving, yet always rejoicing. Poor, making many rich. Penniless, we own the world. Thank you, God, for these words from Paul, who was an impostor for you, a fool for Christ, and we're glad to hear him again. In Jesus' name, we pray for this time together, this time when your joy will fill us. Well, last night I sat for an agreeable hour or so with some of the world's champion liars, the teaching staff of Holden Village. Every week, I guess it's the custom so far this summer for the teaching staff to get together on a Sunday night, and to, by way of introduction, to each tell two truths and one lie, and I began to think about being liars for Christ, but that doesn't quite work. I did find out some amazing truths, though. Renita Falkenstern actually taught ballroom dancing, and Connie Marty likes to dress up in Dutch costume, and plop, plop, plop. And Fred Niedner started out his professional life setting pins in a bowling alley, and by way of segueing into tomorrow night's announcements, he will, later this week, be having a session in the bowling alley on the theology of the cross, not to be missed. And Michael Pellet actually took a class with the Pope. I wonder who had the last word in that. At any rate, we also heard that Jody Kretzmann went to school with the future director of the CIA, and Larry Huff went to school with the future head of the FBI. So, but those are truths, and I'm here to talk about imposters. And, here's one, take me. But I want to talk about a Holden saint, a Holden imposter who became an imposter for Christ. His name is John, and he came to Holden, 35, 36 years ago. Came as a very correct, very knowledgeable, very angry, middle-aged man. A loner. He used to sit in the back in Vespers, and he was sort of first in, first out. I don't think he would have liked the smoker's porch since he was a chain smoker. He was so knowledgeable about so many things that some people thought he was one of those perpetual PhD candidates. But he was impossible to be around. It's impossible to be around someone who is always right. He never took communion. When we began to go up around the altar, he would leave. Finally, my father, in his inimitable pastoral way, said, "John, when are you going to stop pissing in at the rest of us and come on and join the rest of us in the pool?" And John said, "I'll tell you about that sometime." I don't want to tell you what he told my father, but he had already served his time at the Washington Corrections Center at Shelton, and had been brought here as part of his probationary time. And it was at Holden that the long, slow work of becoming an imposter for Christ came to John O'Neill. And it wasn't one of those overnight kind of things where suddenly he becomes sunshine and light. He's still irascible, and he's 90 years old this spring. He met the nurse at Holden. He was baptized and confirmed here, and he was married here. He was the first person I heard who gave the great "I'm going down the mountain" Vespers in 1972. He later was the pilot of the village boat, the Happy Exchange. And then, when that was sold, he and Margaret started seminary, of course. He was ordained when he was 72 years old. And then where was he sent? Well, at 72, you think that he could put his feet up a little. But John went back to prison. He went back to the same prison that incarcerated him in Shelton. And he began a prison ministry there that has now become a congregation in the Southwest Washington Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Just the other day, he received the Bishop's Award. I don't think awards mean a lot to him at 90. But he said, "It's all come full circle. It was at Shelton that I was first ministered to by Harold Addix. And it's at Shelton that I returned to be a minister. And now, with two full-time ministers, Ray Lester and Ed Nesselhoff, he's still ministering at 90 years old." Let's give thanks for John, who said this winter when he talked to me, "I still feel like such an imposter. I can't believe I was a pastor. But you know what? The prisoners like listening to me. And I was a fellow prisoner of theirs." He's a dear guy. And if you stop by Shelton, he still lives there, he and Margaret, who is now also retired in her 70s. You can actually retire from the ministry at 89. Holden is always calling people. It's calling you by name. It's calling me by name. It's calling us beyond our persona, the masks we wear. It's calling us through everything, because it's the call of the Holy Spirit.
It's not Holden that's doing the calling. Holden is sometimes, I think, run with mirrors. But as long as we mirror the Holy Spirit, then that's good. Then you don't have to pay attention to any of us people standing here behind the curtain. And then in the end, we send people along. And in the end, it isn't about John. It's about the great God that John has. The great God who loved John through countless sinners and saints who made his way straight. I have to end with another story of a saint who never came to Holden Village. But I have to tell it because I talked to Ingrid Christiansen yesterday, and it's one of my favorite F. Melius Christiansen story. When my dad was in the St. Olaf Choir, he and Paul Christiansen, Ingrid's father, used to argue about who was the worst bass in the section. And Paul said, "I am the worst bass, Carol, because you at least can carry a tune sometimes." And Carol said to Paul, "No, you're the better of the worst basses because you can at least read music." One day, my father was called into F. Melius Christiansen's office where he was practicing the piano and writing some things up. And he just called him in and said, "Carol," he had a brogue, "who chose you for this choir?" Carol said, "You did, Dr. Christiansen." And Dr. Christiansen said, "Don't ever forget it." And that's something that John O'Neill never forgot. Not who he was, but whose he was. Who had called him and keeps on calling him now. Thanks be to God for John O'Neill. Thanks be to God for being such a wonderful God, such a wondrous giver of new life. Thank you for Holden Village, which provided the space of grace for John O'Neill. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now, should we close? Are you ready? Okay, now I think I've got it right. Now we go to this Renewing Worship songbook, and we've come this far by faith, which is number 269.
Thank you.
and now go forth penniless. You own the world. Go in peace.
Serve your God.